to close your eyes. And some things I can't even trust myself. It's killing me to see. Hour two of the Blitz start now. Sam, why do you always play this song to start hour two?
I don't know.
It's such a weird one.
You don't like Little Talks?
I saw a TikTok one time that was sad. Like, this song is just like this girl talking to the ghost of her dead boyfriend. If you like, that's what the song is. If you imagine it through that narrative, you can like see it.
Well,
it was like some like, song conspiracy. So now that's like all I can imagine. It's just like this girl talking to the ghost of her dead boyfriend in that song. It's always like a weird vibe to start hour two with. But hour two starting now. Live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, live on Fan Run Radio, 1340 AM, 105.7 FM. We are live in your Fan Run Radio app, free wherever you get your apps, and we are live on Twitter too. If you want to watch us at home, wherever you may be, well, live on Twitter, that video feed is, and the live feed going on in the the Fan Run Radio web browser as well. Let's get hour two going with a little bit of an opening drive. What do you say? There we go. There's the music. Hour. Not hour two. First down. Goodness.
It is hour two, though.
It is hour two. I've had a lot of coaching news come out the last couple of days. We haven't, you know, fully gotten to all of it, but some ongoing coaching drama, something we don't really, you know, coaching hiring drama, something we don't really see a lot of. Deion Sanders confirmed on Monday that a report stating that Colorado has offered him the head coaching job is true, and that he has also received interest from other schools. Typically, you don't really see, you know, something stated so publicly, but, you know, Sanders, he didn't specify in the teleconference for the SWAC championship game who else had reached out beside Colorado, but he said he's not going to sit here and you know, tell you all my business. They're just not the only ones. University right now, Colorado, they're looking to replace Carl Dorrell, who was dismissed in October. Mike Sanford finished the season. They went 1-11, a very bad Colorado team. Kind of an interesting place to be, though, for both of these schools now. If you're Deion, you know, you're getting your team ready for a conference championship game while also very publicly mulling over a Power 5 job offer. And then if you're Colorado, I mean, it's publicly known, too, that, hey, you're trying to get this guy. And if he says no, any other candidate that you go after will 100% know that, well, we prefer Deion Sanders, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. That happens sometimes, but I feel like we never really see it fully out in the open from both parties like we are here in this situation. I don't know. If you're Deion, you taking this job?
No. No. I think Deion at some point will take a job at a Power 5 conference, but I feel like it's got to be the right fit. I don't feel like Colorado is the right fit for his style and who he is. He brings a lot of energy. He brings a lot of moxie. He's going to bring his camera crew. You know, it's going to be a production, and he's going to bring a little bit of swagger with him. And that's who he is. I just don't feel like that. Like, if Auburn would have reached out, yeah, like, he would have been there. But I don't know if, like, yeah, it's not just going to be any job. Like, I feel like he's very content being at Jackson State. I just feel like if the right one comes, that's what's going to take him away from that. But then again, will the right one come if he doesn't leave Jackson State? I don't know. Maybe like Colorado is maybe the best next step he's going to get. I don't know.
It's an interesting predicament here for Deion Sanders. I think there's a couple things at play. I think the media was maybe a little bit overzealous with some of the places that they targeted of, you know, where could Deion go. I think when you saw some of these jobs open up, like even Auburn, for example, the immediate speculation was like, oh, Deion Sanders will be a candidate. But in reality, you know, I don't think he's necessarily as big or as hot of a candidate, at least at that level of the Power 5, yet.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Deion, I mean, he's done a fantastic job at Jackson State. You know, you feel like he's going to be able to recruit. You feel like he's a good culture guy. You feel like he's a good CEO and generally, you know, just a good guy to have around. But at the same time, Do we really feel like that'll translate into success at a Power 5 program? I mean, maybe, but to make the jump to like an Auburn would be kind of wild without any kind of proven track record at the FBS level. Because right now at Jackson State, you know, he's playing at just such an advantage when it comes to recruiting compared to the rest of the SWAC because, well, he has a budget that others don't. But then also, because of that recruiting, because of the guys he's been able to bring in just with the name Deion Sanders, you know, everyone else he's playing in the SWAC and the level of competition is just different. The talent differential, there is a clear talent gap between, you know, his team and a lot of the teams he's playing. So when he gets on a level playing field, or even, you know, when he's working with a worse roster, which will likely happen the first couple of years at somewhere that hires you, you know, how is he going to be in that situation? How will he be able to recruit to a Power 5? And maybe the answer is, well, you know, maybe he will succeed, maybe he'll flourish, but it's also, I still think, too much of an unknown. So I will think it'll be, you know, his first job will be at like a smaller Power 5 spot,
I think,
or
it's
like
gonna,
a bigger group
five.
That's
how it's going
spot.
To be. Like, Auburn's definitely too ambitious, but Colorado's not the fit.
Yeah, I agree there. I really thought the Georgia Tech would have been a good fit.
Yeah,
I really thought
somewhere
that would have been an ideal spot, and instead they just went and hired Fritz, which is a weird hire.
I feel like somewhere, you know, where in the Southeast where he's been around his entire life, I feel like that would make more sense than going out West. Unless it's like a USC would call, but that's not going to happen.
Second down?
Second down, AP Top 25 poll came out yesterday for college basketball. There is a new number one, and it's the Houston Cougars. They're number one for the first time since 1983. With the Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon team, which is ridiculous. The fact that they were on the same college basketball team. Texas is number two with 8 first place votes. Good for the Longhorns. They come to Knoxville in January. Arizona's number four. Tennessee's going to be there very soon.
Yeah, Sam, we might, me and Sam go to that game. We might get to see a top 10 matchup.
Yeah.
We might.
And then Kansas falls all the way back from 3 to 9. Tennessee has hopped up to number 13, so a pretty good jump for Tennessee, who had a really good weekend, but they're still the third-ranked team in the SEC. Arkansas and Alabama are right above Tennessee, tied for 11. So, love a good tie. And then Kentucky, all the way down to 19. North Carolina dropped from 1 to 18, which is kind of crazy.
Pretty fair, though.
But they lost to Alabama and Iowa State, two teams that are ranked.
And they almost lost to Portland, and they hadn't really played good basketball at really any point this year.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad with it. It's just you rarely see a 1-18 fall. But, again, I think college basketball does a good job at the early of the season. They
college football can learn a lesson.
Yeah, they reward a team like Purdue, who was unranked to start the season. Oh, you had a really good week. You're now number 5. Simple as that, you know. So we're getting a little bit of a picture of who's who. I mean, UConn is good again. They've been good, but they're really good now. They've opted to the top 10. Joe Lunardi's already putting out new bracketology updates. Pretty crazy. I'll see where Tennessee lies. Joe Lunardi.
3 seed? That would be my guess.
3 seed. Facing Iona.
Oh.
Rick Pitino in the first round. With Iowa as the 6 seed. Purdue as the 2 seed. Stay
can't
away.
Escape them. We cannot
stay
escape
away,
them.
Purdue. Stay away. 1 seed, Texas.
So who are the 4 1-seeds? Is it Texas, Purdue, Houston, and
No, Purdue's a 2 seed.
Who are the other 1 seeds?
Houston, Texas, Virginia, and Arizona.
Huh. Okay. That Arizona win, when we get it later on this season, it's going to look really good.
It's going to be good.
It's going to look really good. I was wondering how good Arizona would actually be this year. You know, you're just going to need Carice and Coloco to step up. They've been good. They've been a really good Arizona team. That game's going to be a lot of fun.
No Villanova in the field.
Third down. Wow.
You know, out.
That just is going to be weird to see this
out.
Year. Kyle Neptune is in trouble. CJ Gardner-Johnson, the Eagles' safety acquired from the Saints in the offseason. Well, he got hurt Sunday night early or late in the first quarter against the Packers. Collided with Christian Watson, and a league source confirmed he lacerated his kidney. Will be out indefinitely. Decision whether to place him on injured reserve has not yet been made, as they try to establish a timetable for his return. He was replaced in the lineup by Reed Blankenship, the MTSU rookie. Really like Reed Blankenship, by the way. Was coming out of the draft, and he looked good. He picked off Aaron Rodgers.
Lacerated kidney sounds terrible.
Yeah, you see that injury like once a year, and I just always just any, like, that sounds
bad. Any use of the word laceration devastating.
That's an extreme
whenever
attitude.
They use laceration and whenever they apply it to anything inside of your body rather than outside, it terrifies me.
Yeah, no good.
Like, I feel like someone lacerates like a spleen like once a season too. Like, didn't that happen to Keenan Allen and he missed like a long
time?
Yeah,
it did happen. Keenan Allen's always dealing with some sort of laceration.
Usually, typically internal. Maybe he just has weak organs. Step your organ game up.
Very easily lacerated.
Big though, he'll be out for Sunday's contest with the Titans. We got Eagles Titans this week, Andy. It's going to be a good one.
I mean, we need y'all to win.
We will. I
please.
Promise.
We will.
I, Charlie Collier at 11:13 on a Tuesday, would like to personally guarantee a Titans victory over the Eagles on Sunday, and I would take that a step further. I personally guarantee that A.J. Brown has, we'll say, less than 55 yards.
I'll guarantee that win as well.
Yeah.
You know what one of the saddest things ever is?
A.J. Brown on Sunday crying?
No. Well, that would be sad. But
it's going to happen.
That would be sad. Cowboys play the Eagles on Christmas Eve, and I can't even watch it.
Why not?
Because of Christmas Eve, like, festivities. Like, we're going to be completely away from a television from 4 to 8.
Your family's not going
to
let you?
No, I realized this on Thanksgiving, during Thanksgiving meal, and I said, we've got to cancel all of our plans. And they said no.
How can you expand on these plans,
Andy? I just don't understand why Christmas had to be on Sunday this year, and now all the NFL games are happening on Saturday.
I mean, that's a fair point.
That's not my fault for...
You got a phone, too, though, Andy? I mean, come on.
I know.
A little, like under the...
You get the church service and then the dinner afterwards. It's just frustrating.
Fake an injury.
I'm going to be sick that day.
And it'll
but then I got a
lacerated spleen.
Yeah, laceration has come to play.
We do Thanksgiving, or we do Christmas Eve... brunch every year at my grandmother's. Big deal. And
that's huge.
The Titans play on Christmas Eve this year. We're going to the Titans game. We're just not the same, Andy. You got to put your sports teams in front of all other priorities.
Who do we have on Christmas Eve?
I think like the Texans. Maybe. I don't know.
That's gross.
Fourth down. Andy, explain to me why we're beating Iran.
USA versus Iran today. The big question mark for Team USA has been, how are they going to score goals? Who's their striker? You know, you've only scored one goal. You didn't score against England, but you looked really good against England. Iran, they're going to try to do this whole thing where they're going to play for a tie. They're going to sit back and just like, oh, hopefully USA doesn't score and we tie. Maybe we can get a nice counter opportunity. No, USA, they're going to get the ball in the hands of their studs. Christian Pulisic, Weston McKinney, that Musa guy, Jonas Musa, the midfield is going to be cruising. They're going to have possession. They're going to be creating opportunities. I think Team USA's got to pepper the goal today. Just start firing shots and see what happens, because someone's got to score. I mean, scoring has been the issue, so someone's just got to score, and I think they're just going to start peppering, because Iran's going to get too greedy for a tie. They're playing for a tie, and that mindset never gets you far. So that's why Team USA is going to win today.
Let's go.
How was that?
Going back to this this little preview of the Titans, Eagles. If the Titans beat Philly and then the Colts lose to Dallas, then the Titans would only have to beat the Jags in Week 14 to win the division already. So we can have a little... The show can help each other out this week. We'll help Andy out, beat the Eagles. He can help us out, beat the Colts, and then we'll just go and whoop up on the Jags. And
there we go.
Maybe we can rest like Jeffrey Simmons for like 3 or 4 weeks before the playoffs.
If y'all beat the Eagles this week, we need to find out how we can make that worth two losses, because we're back two games.
We can just play the Eagles again.
That'd be cool.
I'd be down to play.
Well, then I guess we could beat the
Eagles.
Y'all
can just beat the Eagles twice.
Yeah. Well, we've already lost to the Eagles.
Oh, you've already played one game with
them. You're in trouble, Andy.
Well, then we just got to beat them again.
We can beat them bad enough where it ruins their morale.
Yeah, no, that's what we need, a December collapse.
It's going to be bad in Philly for the Eagles on Sunday. I can promise you that. But
I hope so.
America, baby. Got to get that striker situated and score some goals. So we'll pepper it.
Pepper. Start peppering.
All day.
Get the ball in the hands of your playmakers.
Whoop, whoop. Oh, on their feet.
Yes. Don't use your hands.
Let's get the ball. Actually, except for let's get the ball in the hands of Iran's playmakers. That should be our strategy.
Yeah, in the box.
Handballs all day. Let's not even shoot for the goals. Let's just try to intentionally all day shoot it in their hands.
Yeah. Go for handballs.
Like, I want to see Pulisic have like a decent look at goal and then just turn 90 degrees to the left and kick it straight into
someone's hand. And he get immediately get penalty. Yeah, I like that strategy.
Why hasn't anyone tried this? Let someone call up Berhalter or whatever his name is.
Not yet.
Let's hit every Iranian hand besides their goalie.
Yes.
I mean, we don't want their goalie touching the ball.
No, not his hands, but not all the other hands. I think we just figured out, we just hacked soccer. That's what we just did.
Yep.
We just hacked soccer. Congratulations to us. We'll talk Vols basketball on the other side. So, Andy, you mentioned it there in the opening drive, the new AP poll out in college basketball. Big feast week. We didn't really get a lot of time to talk about what the Vols were able to accomplish last week. But a really impressive three-day stretch where I think this team kind of played better each day. You whooped up on Butler on a Wednesday night. Then you had a nice little Thanksgiving overtime win against USC. Where, hey, you know, I thought you had a little bit of a difficult time with USC's zone. Bogey Ellis made some really nice shots, and quite frankly, you didn't really make shots, but I thought you did a good job generating looks in that game.
That was such a weird game in terms of, like, you felt like Tennessee should have been up by, like, 50.
Yeah. I mean, they consistently generated the better shots, and it just felt like USC consistently made bad shots and Tennessee missed good shots in that game. But, you know, sometimes when you're playing in a hotel conference room, the shots just don't fall. But I thought Tennessee did a really good job getting looks in that game. And Julian Phillips, that was the game that he emerged, showed why he's a five-star and why he's an NBA player. I think you're really starting to see him develop and really, you know, his confidence level is skyrocketing. I think you're seeing things start to click for him a little bit where he realizes, oh, I can do this. I can assert myself here. I can take this shot. Like, I can be the aggressor, and I can go out there and play at a high level. I think, you know, you saw things start to click for him at times in the second half against Butler. Like, you could just kind of see it light up in his eyes almost. And then, yeah, against USC, you know, 20-plus points and saved Tennessee really from an embarrassing loss. Saved the fan base from, you know, cannibalizing each other, basically, because we don't react to November basketball super well. And then, you know, you follow it up with a dominating performance against Kansas in the Battle for Atlantis final. You hold Jalen Wilson to, 3 of 15 shooting, Grady Dick to 2 of 8. And you absolutely just frustrate that Kansas team. You wear that Kansas team down, and I think you make a statement that, hey, you know, that loss to Colorado, it is what it is, but we are still this team that Ken Pom had as a top-10 team, that, you know, a lot of AP poll voters had as a top-10 team coming into the year. This is a team that's capable of being one of Rick Barnes' better teams. And, I think that three-day stretch can really kind of propel this team forward now into the close this November month. Obviously, you have one more game here in November against McNeese State, but then, you know, into a couple pretty big matchups in December to get you ready for SEC play. At this point, with a 3-0 run down in the Bahamas. Your two main games left now before you get into conference play. You go to Arizona and you play Maryland, who is undefeated right now, ranked 22nd in the country.
Yep.
You play those two teams.
Is that Maryland one in New York? Is that in the Nets stadium, or is it going to be at Madison Square Garden?
I want to say it's at Barclays.
I think so.
I think it's in Barclays, but Tennessee, a pretty good chance to head into SEC play with, you know, at worst, like two losses. You know, at worst, I think you split Maryland and Arizona. That is, yeah, it is in the Barclays Center.
Yep.
In Brooklyn. So, where are you at confidence-wise now in this basketball team following last week's 3-0 little stretch?
Very confident in this basketball team. I think, one, you did all of that without Josiah Jordan-James, who we've talked a lot about him being, you know, the centerpiece, one of the more important aspects of this team, and you're able to perform at a very high level without him. I think you, obviously it's important to give him the time necessary to get completely healthy, because I don't think he's been that yet this year. Obviously, he didn't play all week in the Bahamas. But I think just the other pieces you had, I think you really just saw the team play really well as a unit in all different aspects. You know, it was clear that we had a dynamic group of guards from the beginning, and it was clear that, hey, we've got some guys that can shoot the ball. But after that Colorado game, we've really seen a huge step up in the rebounding department, in the defense department, especially the defense department. Like, the defense has been really good, like, especially the guards being able to lock up really good players on the other end. And I think you've seen more of a stress of, hey, we can still get it into the post, and we don't just have to shoot threes 45 times a game. We can shoot threes 45 times a game, but if you're not hitting, like, there were some really tough shooting performances in the Bahamas, especially in those first two games. You know, Vescovy wasn't hitting all of his shots early on in those first two games. So you were forced to maybe take it inside a little bit more. Like, Julian Phillips showed that he can finish at the rim. And, you know, Olivier, he's been working really good at getting good positioning inside, and he can shoot the three too. So it's like, you don't need him to shoot the three, but I think Tennessee's done a really good job of taking what they've been strong at and getting better at what they did not do good at against Colorado, and they just look like a very, very well-balanced team in those last three games, just in a lot of the different aspects.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado, look, like, you can throw that out the window at this point. And this team is entirely different. I mean, I think, honestly, Rick Barnes,
I think this is what this team was. It just, they played really bad against Colorado, and they were a little bit
I don't know if they even looked the same. Like, I don't even think that's the same team, but I think Rick Barnes even kind of let them get embarrassed in that game a little bit. Like, when things started falling apart in that game, I think he kind of let it happen at that point. Just, hey, you know what, you dug yourself in this hole, feel it in its fullest, and be embarrassed, and let that motivate you to change. And I think it woke, wow, Ecuador 1-1. With a wild goal. That's disappointing.
They're in now. Senegal has to win.
Yeah, that's really disappointing.
Wow.
Sorry to interrupt, but man, yeah, I think you let him get whooped in that game, and I think it kind of changed the team. I think it got him back into gear. You know, you heard Rick Barnes talking about how his coaches did a good job because he wanted to kill him after the Colorado game, and you know, credit to them for coming back together quickly and riding that ship. And I think a lot of that has to do with the leadership, the coaching on this team. But yeah, you mentioned it too. Without Josiah Jordan-James, like, that is a guy that last year was your MVP.
Yeah.
You know, Kennedy Chandler, probably your best player, but your most important player was Josiah Jordan-James and all the different things he did. But now I almost, like, when he comes back, what does your lineup look like? That's where I think things get challenging now. It's this team without Josiah has beaten Gonzaga and Michigan State and won these three games. And, like, Julian Phillips in the starting lineup, because probably because Josiah's not. I mean, it's just, Do you go one big on the floor and Josiah at the four and like Phillips at the three with Key and Santiago Vescovi?
Do you take Key off the bench?
Like the, but then what would your who would your guards be?
I mean, you go maybe.
Are you saying Phillips at the two? Like I don't think you can put him there.
I think you can put Phillips at the three. Maybe Josiah at the two.
I mean, you can't put Josiah at the two either, though. Like,
you get in a weird spot for sure. Just with
wait, let me see what the starting lineup was for Kansas.
The starting lineup for Kansas was Key, Vescovi, Phillips, Olivier, and Uroš.
Yeah.
And you've been starting Uroš and Olivier every game. And like, I know as fans, we prefer almost like that smaller lineup anyway. I would prefer if you went small with
I think Tyreek probably comes off the bench.
But I think you're going to want to keep those two guards because when you don't have a true point guard, you need both Vescovi and Key out on the court. Because, like, neither of them is a point guard in its truest form, so both of them kind of need to rely Senegal. On each other. Senegal!
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Wow.
What happened?
I just looked up, and the ball was in the back of the net. I thought it was a replay.
That was so fast.
That was so fast.
What a quick response.
How did they even get the ball reset and, like, towards the goal that quickly?
Let's go.
I don't even know if Ecuador was done celebrating.
No.
Wait, is Ecuador out with the loss here, Andy?
Ecuador's out with the loss. This is high huge. Drama because Netherlands is beating up on Qatar right now.
So this is like our game. Draw gets Ecuador in or a win.
Senegal's got to win.
Senegal has to win.
Okay.
Yeah, Netherlands is up 2-0 on Qatar, so Netherlands has won this group for sure.
Wow. Oh, off a set piece.
A little set piece freak.
Oh! Just exactly how that last goal kind of happened.
Was that Kalidou Koulibaly?
Was he offside?
No, he wasn't. Not number three.
What about 22?
He didn't touch the ball.
Oh, we're good. I thought he did. Never mind.
That was Koulibaly.
Koulibaly. How do you know who that is?
Oh, he's a pretty well-known defender.
I love their coach so much.
Yeah, Senegal has a very likable head coach.
I just love this team.
I love the celebration, too, just the finger in the ear. I don't know what that means.
He plays.
But I love it.
He plays for Chelsea.
Wow.
Koulibaly.
These guys fire me up, too. These.
We're planning a trip to Senegal when the show ends. But no, I think that's kind of like the biggest question for this team moving forward is like how does that point guard position continue to come along? Because, again, I feel like you are better with Sakai coming off the bench, even if he's going to play a lot of minutes. You know, I still sometimes you see him getting going too fast. You see him getting a little out of control. But, you know, you also see him doing a lot of the amazing things that made him so likable and gave him that playing time a year ago, too. So I still think you keep him coming off the bench. But, you know, can Tyreek and Santi continue to get it done without like a real true point guard and
yeah.
You know, you have other guys continue to bring the ball to the floor. I think that's one of the biggest questions. And then also just how do you manage this lineup when Josiah comes back? It's almost like you're too deep. You know, you want to cut down your rotations as the season goes along. Like Kansas already cut down their rotation, I think like 7 or 8 guys. But I mean outside your starting lineup, you still have
9 guys that'll play.
Yeah.
I mean maybe Jamai doesn't get as many minutes, which is unfortunate because he's been playing great.
Right. I mean, you have Jamai. Yeah, right now, that outside of the starting lineup from that Kansas game, you have 4 more guys. Jamai, Josiah, Jonas, and Zakai.
Love Jonas.
I do, too.
He's great. He's going to be good by the time he's a senior, you know?
I just also, if I could ask for a third thing, I want our bigs to continue to improve in terms of their finishing ability. They've shown, I think, a lot of progression in their offensive prowess in terms of generating looks for themselves and, you know, passing out of the post, just getting looks in the post in general for them to get in position to score. But I still, especially Olivier, you got to finish strong. You can't keep finishing falling away from the basket because when you're going towards the basket, at the very least, you're going to get fouled. So I still think like those guys need to improve their finishing ability. I mean, you saw Uroš, you know, short arm one, a little bunny lay in, and then during a timeout, Lucas Campbell's like, "Hey, pointed at the spot on the court, put it at the rim, and just said dunk it. And you know, the next time out, one big power step and a dunk. Like, you need more of those finishes because you know that those guys are athletic and strong enough to do that. But you really got things on track down in the Bahamas. It was so incredible too. It was just,
yeah. How was the experience?
I still can't get over how the experience. It's been something I've always like dreamt of doing. I've been obsessed with that tournament my entire life. But just to like to walk through the casino and like, oh hey, there's Greg Gard, like Wisconsin's coach, just chilling, and then, you know, you walk up to the bar and like you just, oh, the entire team walks past behind you, and then, you know, I can grab a drink, I can put $20 on red, and then 5 minutes later I can be in a college basketball game, and then like
and
I can
watch Tennessee
out,
win the whole thing,
and like, then I can just like walk out and like walk out onto the beach. But like even like that Kansas Wisconsin game that went into OT, there was 10 minutes left in the game, and I was just like over at a bar next to the arena, just like grabbing a drink, and I looked at the score, and I was like, oh, tie game. I just walked up to the arena and just handed someone a 20, and they just like let me in. I just watched the last 10 minutes of that game. And it's just like, you could also just to sit there and just drink beach drinks that I can just bring in from wherever and like watch college basketball. Just so cool. I mean, just everyone all in one spot. Just amazing stuff. But we're way over time. We got a Tuesday draft coming up. Stay with us here on the Blitz. All right, it's time for some Tuesday draft. Sam, send it over to you, my friend.
Yeah, we got to get a little patriotic before this game starts.
Well, it is Patriotism Tuesday.
It is Patriotism Tuesday. Let's do our favorite states.
Favorite states. Drafting states. All right. Andy, you got your coin?
Nope. Nope. It's probably been 2 months now. So it's like, who knows where that coin has ended up.
Hopefully it was used to purchase something.
Hopefully.
All right, call it in the air. Siri, flip a coin.
Heads. Heads.
Siri, flip a coin.
Heads. It's heads. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I feel like when you just say heads, maybe it just makes it heads.
It hears me?
I think you win every week.
I'm going to let you go first.
I'm going first?
Yeah.
And with the number one overall pick, I'm going to take the great state of Tennessee.
Wait. I thought we weren't allowed to pick Tennessee. No, we can't pick Tennessee because we live here.
I feel like no Tennessee. No, yeah, Tennessee. I feel like we should.
I'm going to take the great state of North Carolina.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this in terms of like living? Like, what are we talking about here?
I think it's just okay. It's a pick.
Anything?
You know?
Okay, I like that.
Favorite one to visit?
Live in?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Just
whatever. Life is what you make it.
You're right.
North Carolina is a great place to visit, live in. They have Harris. They have the beach, the Outer Banks, mountains. They have professional sports, college sports. North Carolina, clear 1-1.
I mean, it's a good state, yeah.
Well, you get to pick two.
Number two, my pick number two. Colorado. Love Colorado. Skiing, the mountains.
You can't even pronounce it right.
Colorado. I call it Colorado. Mountains. You've got beautiful winters there. You've got good skiing, lodges, warm fires. You've got a good metropolitan center if you want to watch some professional sports. It's got all the beauty you could want, all the luxury, all the out of the way, anything that you could desire. Colorado. That's where I would want to live.
Well, you get two picks here.
You're right. And then I'm going to go, I'm going to go California. So many sick things in California. I mean, you got the beaches, you've got the forests, you've got desert if you want it.
You got fire and
you got
expensive gas.
Fire everywhere.
And expensive food. And
you can't talk about fire if you, unfortunately, pick in North Carolina.
Everywhere has crime.
Everywhere has crime.
California,
you can't
to me,
just say these.
California to me would have been like in my bottom five.
Well, you can live in a bad place in North Carolina too.
Have you ever been to a bad place in North Carolina?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, not like in terms of like devastating.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Like I could live. Like I'm sorry if anyone lives here, but I'm zooming in. Like I could live in Krause, North Carolina. I don't know what goes on there.
Good things happen in Krause. I'd rather live in Krause than L.A.
Well, I'm not saying just L.A. I'm saying California.
Go get stabbed.
California is beautiful.
$7 for a gallon of milk.
Have you ever seen the pictures of the Highway 1 across
the coast? I've seen the pictures of how expensive gas is.
Have you ever been to California, Charlie?
I don't think you've been.
I haven't.
So, yeah.
I mean, all that stuff that you're saying is true, but it's, yeah, can't beat the weather there.
Well, with my next pick, I'm taking Texas. Texas, a great state. I know that their people get a little cocky about it, and that's a little annoying. Oh, everything's great in Texas, but Texas is pretty great. You get a lot of different
Texas has
activities.
Like,
you get
Texas has
one
like
of the
four
best country
cities.
Music scenes.
Four cities.
You get West Texas. You get East Texas. You get different topography, different geography. You get the beach. You get again the
you,
best.
You
country,
get a
the, you get
not a very good beach.
You get the best country music scene in all of the world, potentially.
That's kind of crazy coming from
Nashville
guy.
Yeah, man, it's not good, though. You get some of the best food in the entire world. You get great people, friendly people. Texas, to me, easily next. And then my next pick, I'm going to go Montana.
You've been to Montana?
I've watched Yellowstone. I've seen College Game Day in Bozeman, and that's enough for me. That place looks absolutely fantastic.
Hey, I will say a quarter of Montana.
Imagine riding a horse on like a dude ranch through the mountains. That's Montana.
Well, you could do that in Colorado and not be in Montana. The West Montana is beautiful. Like
they also have roads there with speed limits where you can go like 80 miles an hour. Oh, Texas. They have the world's fastest speed limit. There's a road with that goes 85 miles an hour in Texas. You can't do that in any of your stupid states.
East Montana.
Texas has Six Flags. Texas was once its own country. Texas has the best food in the world. The best country music, the best food. You got dance halls. You got a little bit of everything. You can go down to San Antonio. You get a whole different vibe. El Paso, I've seen that's a growing area for sure.
You're really trying to sell us on Texas.
I love
here,
Texas,
Charlie.
Man. I know if I were to live somewhere else, it would be North Carolina, Texas, or Mississippi. Back to you, Andy.
I'm going Massachusetts, Cape Cod, Boston. Sick, just a great area.
From Boston,
love Massachusetts.
Yeah, nothing.
Can't
like
really
being,
say it very well,
like being
but
cold and experiencing light racism. Yes,
good you old picked Montana.
Boston's a great city,
and Texas.
All right, I take that back.
All right. And then, I'm struggling where to go. I think I'll go more. I've hit all realms just about. I'll go south. I'm going to take Florida. I'm just going to get Florida off the board. Florida's crazy in so many ways, but boy, does it have a lot of really great places. I go to the beach all the time in Florida. I mean, where do you go to the beach? You go to Florida, right? You
beaches
go to Florida.
Suck.
Well, that you're crazy. And you've got the great city of Miami. I love Miami. Orange Bowl. love it.
He loves this Orange Bowl.
Love the Orange Bowl. Yeah, I'm going to go Florida.
Back to me.
Yep.
I'm taking South Carolina. It's like you get all the good stuff that was in North Carolina, but it's just south.
I like South Carolina.
South Carolina, great. You get like great golf, great weather, great food, great people.
You also get Dabo Sweeney in Clemson.
Passionate fans is what you get. Passionate Americans. You get a little bit of different vibes, whether you're in the coast versus whether you're in West South Carolina. You can easily get to other places.
I don't know. I think you having North and South Carolina is interesting.
I just think they're both so good.
It's one or the other, you know.
So I got both Carolinas, and then to wrap it up, I can't believe that this state's still on the board. It is, if it's not Tennessee, the best state in the union is without a doubt Mississippi. Give me Mississippi with my last pick. Some of the nicest people on the planet. So you have two different SEC towns, some of the best food on the planet. It is dirt cheap. It is so cheap if you want to live there and buy things there. An added bonus, you can go down to the beach in Mississippi. You can legally gamble in Mississippi. You got good golf. You got, again, different sports. You got a great JUCO football scene. But the casinos...
Shout
like
out Biloxi.
In, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, the casinos down in Biloxi, that really ties it all together. You can I mean, it's basically just Vegas, but south and friendly and better food and cheaper. I'm telling you, Vegas, I mean, I'm telling you, Mississippi. Mississippi is the most underrated state in the world. I would live in Mississippi if they had a bigger sports radio market. I love Mississippi. It's God's country. Mississippi, my last pick. Andy?
I've never been to this place, but Arizona. Grand Canyon. They got like cactuses everywhere. They've got, you talk about good golf courses, they got good golf. I mean, you're about to go there and see it yourself. Yeah.
Dry heat, nosebleeds.
Yeah, I mean, you just took Mississippi and you're going to talk about
heat, complain about Arizona.
The dry heat, it's different. Dehydrates you.
Better than humid heat, I'm not going to lie.
No, in the humid heat, you at least sweat, you cool yourself down, you dehydrate.
No, I don't like humid heat. Again, never been to Arizona, but it's got some beautiful natural wonders, and it's got some beautiful metropolitan areas. Go catch yourself a Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray game. Yeah, I mean, I see pictures of Devin Booker's house in Arizona, and it's like, that just looks sick. Everything in Arizona just looks cool. It's kind of like, has
Arizona,
a different
look. Yeah. That is a bit, I should have gotten Arizona instead of South Carolina. I knew I was missing something, but
Arizona's cool.
I still have North Carolina, I still have Mississippi. Sam, who wins?
Andy. You lost it with
we both
Mississippi
win.
Was
no
we
it was
interesting
win.
Though we all three win because we're from America. Yep, let's go. Okay.
This was all for USA.
Beat her on, yeah.
Team soccer today.
You know what you sound like, Sam?
What do I sound like?
You sound like a guy that hasn't been to Mississippi and enjoyed the wonders that it that be. So
I've
until
been through
no,
Mississippi.
No, when
going to Louisiana?
That doesn't count. That does not count. You no, need to go count. To Mississippi with me. I'll show you the real Mississippi.
Biloxi is fun.
Best bet coming up next.
They had the worst
no,
roads
you were
in
full
the
of
United
it.
States.
Send it to break. You're full of it. There was peace unknown. I set up to get you with a fine tooth comb. I was soft inside. There was something going on. Hold me closer and I feel no pain. Every beat of my heart, we got something going on. Wrapping up the show like we always do with a little best bet. Oh, we got to run at the goal. Up, oh, defend it, Senegal.
Oh, wow.
Come on. All right, we're good.
It's coming down the wire here. So for the rest of the group stage this week, every game is going to be at like these games are going to be at 10 a.m. So it's like,
yeah,
our show is going to last the entire match. Like
all week, we get a match to watch.
Yeah,
we're just going to pick a team at the beginning of the show to root for.
Yep.
We all pick Senegal today, but maybe tomorrow we won't.
Well, you want to preview this? Oh wait, we don't have a lot of time.
What is tomorrow though?
Tomorrow, real quickly, it's going to be Group C and Group D. We'll have either Tunisia and France or Australia and Denmark.
Go Tunisia.
France is already in, so it comes down between the winner of Australia and Denmark.
Yeah, I'm just going to root for the worst team every time.
Tunisia, if they had to beat France, and that's just...
France is already in it, though. They're coasting.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
But then they also need Australia to lose.
Ooh.
So
we'll figure it out. All right, Sam, your best bet?
USA money line? Come on. I mean, are we all three going to do that? Like, are we not all going to pick USA to win this game?
Yes.
What's your best bet?
Should we do like a score? Mine will be Christian Pulisic.
To score?
Goal score, yeah.
I like that.
It would be poetic.
So, Sam's best bet is USA money line. Andy's is more specific, Christian Pulisic. Anytime goal scorer.
Yeah.
My best bet today. I don't know. I'm looking at some mid-major basketball. No, I'm kidding. It's USA money line. You kidding me? How could it be anything else but America on Patriotism Tuesday? Come on, baby. Let's not mess around with these guys today. Let's go put some balls in the back of some nets.
Amen.
And then go beat those Nederlanders. The Netherlands.
That'd be a fun matchup.
Be fun for us.
Yeah.
We whoop that Netherlands rear end. Come on, baby. What is it, too? I think it's even odds. USA money line, even odds.
Yeah, it's minus 105.
It's minus 105. Now I got it this even at just plus 100. Let's go. 1-1 odds. Senegal's about to win. What a great Patriotism Tuesday it is. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Talk Sports, they're up next.